Good morning, or another time if you happen to be in another zone. This is Katie, and we're going to be doing the first call of the month for the Matrix Transformation Club. And this month's theme is visibility. And we have the character here, although I'm not going to do an impro with Harry Potter. is from the Harry Potter series, and there's this invisibility cloak that they put on to protect themselves from the from the Muggles and what is it? Lord Voldemort. Yeah, I've just I'm
Voldemort.
Facing. What's his name again?
Voldemort.
Voldemort. Yes, right. Which has actually the. I noticed it has the word death inside his name, because mort is death in French. So anyway. Actually, it's talking about death and visibility. Some of our fears of visibility can be around danger, feeling danger, and even like I've worked with lots of clients of ancestral memories of witch hunts where they were actually killed for their beliefs. And I did a teleconference just the other day, an interview with somebody, and where we were talking about visibility and hiding, and I coached somebody on the call, and that was one of the issues. and you know, memories of the witch hunt and feeling like they had been there. And I'm constantly coming up with that with people. So whatever you think about past life, certainly those the fact that people were burned at the stake for being healers and for their beliefs and not being Christians, or maybe they were Christians, but they weren't. They were outside what the Christian church wanted. And so all those things actually creep into our consciousness today, as well as the fact that there's things like the Holocaust and for Black people, the whole memories of slavery and the whole, you know, history of oppression against Blacks in the States, as well as colonialism and all that for different people. So the Native people, the genocide. So there's all kinds of fears that are behind this visibility issue. And so what we do is we put around this cloak of invisibility, and we do it in all kinds of ways in terms of how we act. You know, we may have a, for example, in certain circumstances, our voice may go down. We may get very hesitant. We may kind of try and hide. Our bodies may shrink into our bodies as ways of hiding so that people won't really see us. Or it may be that we go around and we seem pretty confident, but when we're challenged with doing something that really gets us out there, like doing a book, then all sorts of things start happening. And if we look deeply, it may be fears of visibility. And it can be, you know, of course, in our current situation, our current family life, where we've been abused, or in some cases, you know, our family may have, a member of our family may have found our writing and torn it up, and or made fun of it. So all those things can really lead us to hiding. So what I'm going to do is open up the floor to see what issues people may have coming up around hiding. And it perhaps might be around the books people are wanting to write this summer, that they're feeling a little bit, that there may be some hesitancy around there. And also, as always, I welcome you to bring whatever issues you have.
So, hey, it's Loretta.
Oh, good. Loretta, hi.
Oh, okay. Wait, I put you on off a speaker too. So when you were saying about, you know, talking with a lot of people and it seems like they're interested in writing a book.
Mm-hmm.
And a book on death, you know, I mean, on dying.
Right.
And I'm going, oh, that's great. Oh, no. What do I have to say that, you know? It was double whammy, I guess. It was like I'm thinking,
yeah.
It's great. I'm thinking I'll be in the group and there'll be all these different ideas and, you know, we'll be talking. And then I went right into that sense of, well, then if everybody's writing it, and I know this, I know the old story of whatever my wisdom is, it's important, but it's the feeling level. At the feeling level, I got a little, like, just a grab in my gut that was saying, well, if everybody else is writing it, what do I have more to say, you know? And it's interesting because yesterday was the day I had really had the intent of beginning my writing, you know, and I tend to dramatize. So, I mean, I have these, like, this whole thing that happens inside of my head that somehow July 1st is the magical moment and I'm going to sit down and I'm going to write for 3 hours and I'm going to, you know, finish the introduction and, you know, it's like, and then I had a procedure done on Monday and in order to have it done, I was given these, you know, drugs to put me to sleep and keep me calm and I couldn't do anything yesterday. I was still, they said a day, you know, so I said, well, Tuesday's fine, that's July 1st. And I just got into this panic, which in a way, you know, it was related to what had happened the day before in terms of, you know, what they gave me, but drug-wise, but it was also related to the fact that, you know, I had set myself up to do this and now I had the opportunity to do it, but I got scared. And I think that invisibility cloak is a very, that when I saw that was a topic today, I said, I really want to be on this call because I think, you know, it is about a need to protect when there is no need to protect, you know. So it's a good thing. I don't have any other issues at this point because I think this is right on time. So it's the double, both the excitement about being with people and going on this adventure, but then getting into that place so deep within me where it's like I just feel that inadequacy. So that's me.
Great. Well, thank you for telling us about that. And so there's an inadequacy. And do you have anything kind of going back anywhere? I mean, I'm not asking you to go into past lives or anything, but just in your life today where in some ways being visible was dangerous?
Well, I have always felt, and this is from childhood on, that if I speak, that something bad's going to happen.
And
it's like in my former life, not the past life, but in my, you know, my life within a religious congregation, whenever I spoke up, there was some kind of, you know, I wasn't punished, but it was some kind of like backlash because I tend to think differently. And when I start talking, I don't always say it clearly and people feel threatened, so I stop talking. Because of the after effect, you know. And so it's safer for me not to say anything, but I can't stop myself, so I end up saying stuff anyway. Things happen. Yeah.
Right.
And I go,
you're probably pretty honest and direct.
Very. I mean, in a way that's sometimes not tactful, you know. Some people have a way of saying it where they don't threaten, and I just haven't found that way yet.
Yeah, I can identify with that. And sometimes we play a role in the family. Like, I played the role in the family of being a catalyst, so I can be tactful, but... when I was feeling stuff in the family, I would somehow say something, and it might be quite innocent and would make it explode. And
right.
So,
yeah.
And so it never really shut me up, but in some ways it did, I guess. You know, it has influenced me, and I think it, when you say that, I can very much relate if if somewhat in a, you know, different context. Denise, do you have, so thank you, Loretta, and we'll go into it. Denise, did you have anything that you wanted to do right now?
Yes, I have a couple of things. Well, first of all, I need to say that I think that the story of my life has been one of wrestling between my introversion or shyness and getting out with my ideas and being visible with my inner life. And it's been a constant wrestling. And a couple of things were triggered or were brought up by your conversation, both introduction and also conversation with Loretta. The first is you mentioned as a child having somebody find your papers and you know, rip them up. That did not happen to me, but I had a dream as a child that stays with me because I still remember it, where in my dream my mother read my diary, and I woke up very upset, very agitated that my mother, because I had kept a journal at the time, and I think I stopped keeping a journal, but my mother was very invasive into my emotional life. I mean, I kind of lived for her, so... So I got to a place, and I remember my one of my very first memories as a child was my mother was trying to put me out in front of her and introduce me to her friends, and I was clinging to the back of her skirt trying to hide. I was trying to stay invisible. And so that kind of ended up setting the tone for my childhood and our relationship, that I was this precocious child she wanted to show off, and I wanted to be who I was, but not be, you know, used that way. So that's my memory. And then the other part of it is coming out I'm in a role now in my adult life, and I've been in a role for many years of when I speak, there are repercussions.
Yes.
And sometimes they're huge. So this week I was interviewed by the Weather Channel and last week by CNN on a topic that I don't really have a huge investment in, but it turns out that a lot of people do. And there's all kinds of repercussions, and I'm doing my very best to ignore them. But it's like, you know, there's a lot of people, everyone with an opinion about my agenda and this and that. So, you know, and so I'm in a role where I'm being seen on a regular basis. And so I feel like I am often in that role. I feel like pulling out the invisibility cloak and just wrapping myself in it. So anyway, those are my two issues.
Wonderful. And in some cases, the invisibility cloak is still helpful.
Yes.
That's a question of how you can use it. I mean, obviously, if you're right in public life and already have declared something, you're right in the middle of it.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, no matter what, if I, you know, if and when I publish my next book, I mean, my first book got all kinds of people with all kinds of opinions, right? And that was, and so my reaction to that is to pretty much ignore it. But my next book is going to be a lot deeper personally, and so there's a part of me that is like, do I really want to subject myself to that with, you know, everybody and their opinion? So that's going to be a challenge. And just so you know, a mother deer and a baby fawn, two baby fawns are right by our window here.
Oh, that's beautiful. I remember the beautiful deer that came by the time I came. Wow. So just enjoy the sight for a moment. And I'll imagine. So, well, here we go. We've got lots to work on. And let me see. I don't think anybody else there who would like to say anything? I don't, sometimes my board doesn't show people, so I'm just checking. Okay, so let's go. And Loretta, actually I was talking with somebody and they had the same feeling. Oh dear, like it's like I really want to share ideas around death and grief, but will it be different? And so I think that's a common thing, like, you know, where is it different, what you're saying? And from knowing all the people in the course. I think they have very different stories and are messages that will enrich each other rather than compete. But let's just do some clearing around this. Then we may do some further later in the month. So even though I'm afraid that I have nothing to say different and that there's too much competition out there, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I feel like that there's too much competition and people may take my ideas or I may take their ideas and, you know, everybody might just be saying the same thing, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I feel both heartened by the fact that there's other people talking about the same issues, I just wonder if I'm going to say the same thing, and I deeply love and accept myself. What's different? What's different about me? What's different about me? Why should I write my story? Why should I write my story? I always get into trouble saying what I want, my unique way of saying it. Okay, so yeah, I could write a book that was really unique, which is in my voice, and it would just turn off people. They would get so angry about silly things in it. They would get angry about silly things in it, and I don't want that. I'm always getting the wrong reaction, wrong reaction, wrong reaction, wrong reaction, wrong reaction, because I say that the emperor has no clothes. I say the things that people don't want to say. I say the things that people feel are uncomfortable. I explode the emotions. I do the things that nobody else wants to do. I say the truth, I speak the truth, and the truth sometimes is not comfortable, and the truth sometimes is not comfortable, and the truth sometimes is not comfortable, and the truth sometimes is not comfortable at all, at all, at all, at all, at all. Okay, that's the first round. I'll just go ahead, and then if you want to, you can comment later. I'll just keep going. Seems like there's still more stuff here, lots of stuff. Even though I'm still feeling not at all comfortable about giving my story, and I'm kind of paralyzed about it, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I feel uncomfortable about telling my story, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I feel uncomfortable about really telling my story, I deeply love and accept myself. Okay, everybody's into authenticity, telling your story, showing the depth, showing yourself. But is that really safe? How many people really do show what's going on, really do open the curtain and reveal, 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 reveal? I don't want to be naked. I don't want to be naked. I don't want to be naked. I want to be clothed. I want to be clothed when I reveal my book, when I reveal my book. So, who says I can't be? Who says I can't be? Who says I have to reveal in a way that would be invasive to me? I don't have to do it in a way that's invasive to me. I just have to do it in a way that feels good. In a way that feels good. I can reveal whatever I want to reveal. I'm only revealing at the service of the story, not as a way to show something that I can be naked or authentic, as they say, because all that authenticity is just a word. It's just a word that intimidates sometimes. But what is more important is truth, 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 in the service of truth and in the service of compassion and the service of kindness. And the writer rides a thin line between revealing and keeping secret, between mystery and openness, mystery and openness. That's the secret, mystery and openness. It is a skill, a craft. It is a way of revealing truth in compassion, in compassion, in compassion, opening up to empathy, opening up to empathy. And each story has, when told with truth and mystery, has its own seductive power, its own seductive power, and seduction in its best, best meaning, in its best meaning. Okay, I'm going to take a little break, although I'm sure there's lots of other things that we went over that I would like to also do. But if anybody wants to make a comment on what I just just did, please go ahead. I'm taking some water. Did it bring up anything further? Hello? Uh-oh. I think I've got cut off. Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
We're here.
Oh, okay. You're still there? Okay. Suddenly I wasn't seeing anything. My everybody was invisible. And my yes.
It's Loretta. What happened was, you know, I just got so impacted I couldn't talk. You know, I don't know if you've ever had the experience. I did one time when I was doing some guided imagery with people and, you know, bringing them into a depth of being in the present. Yeah. And I was finished with what I was doing, and I just looked out there, and there was nothing. And finally somebody just laughed, and they said, well, you took us a place, and now you want us to come back quickly, you know. So, but.
Yeah, I kind of ran out of steam early. I needed a break, so it's a bit abrupt sometimes when I surface.
I thought that the difficulty with saying the word authenticity was very powerful for me.
Yeah.
You know, this is going to be a real challenge, writing my book, because the big thing is I know my story, and I find my story fascinating. And whenever I start talking about it, you know, I start talking about it, people are absolutely fascinated. I mean, they ask me questions. They want more and more and more. But putting it down, it just feels so false, you know. And I don't know what that is, point of struggle is. You know, it just doesn't feel authentic. It's like, or it feels too revelatory, you know.
Oh, right.
I just don't know. I just don't know.
Right. So we'll do more on it. But it occurs to me, maybe, Loretta, one of the forms that we'll be doing in the book thing of talking it out the first draft might be an option once you've got the structure and the questions.
Right. Yeah.
And then you can be, if you do it with somebody you trust, you can reveal everything and then go over the draft and look as to whether you want to reveal that much.
Yeah. Well, I liked your idea that I think you said one time of just writing it all out.
Yeah.
You know, just to write. And I do have a person that I was talking to last week who is willing to read it for me. She's very interested in what I have to write. And it's somebody that would be objective, that I would know you would be able to say to me, you know, this is a great thing to know, but you sure you want to put it in there, you know?
Yes, too much information type of thing.
Well, you know, the thing is, too, I mean, it's not just too much, it's like it is too much, I'm afraid it might be too much information, but, you know, there's just so much about a particular individual's life that after a while I've read books where it's like just, you know, it just isn't interesting anymore because it's the same old, you know?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, well, great. So we'll, and I found interesting in my own thing, I mean, listening or kind of being in the words of this clearing was the mystery part.
Yeah.
That there's some part that, because I'd never thought of it that way, but it did come out of my mouth, but about leaving, like, the line between mystery and revelation.
Right, yeah.
Which is actually something interesting in terms of religion.
Yeah. Yeah, what, how much, if you put everything out there, then what is there that's not, it's calling a deeper part?
Right. Like somehow the, when you, there's a certain amount of stuff that really draws people in, and then there's some stuff that's almost alluded to or done in metaphorical language, which is the mysterious part, which in some ways informs much more. So, anyway,
yes.
That is something I think I will play with. Denise, anything before we go into clearing more of what we people have said already?
I too had resonance with mystery, and that was it's actually something that I have been thinking, not thinking, feeling a lot of resonance towards. It seems that so much of the so much of my life has been thinking things through, and this idea of mystery and allowing is an important theme for me at this moment.
Yeah. Wonderful. So we'll go deeper into the mystery here, into the issues. yeah, and I was... so here we go. I'm just going to look back a little bit at my notes on what people said. Okay. So, okay, even though if I speak, something bad will happen, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though if I speak, something bad will happen, I deeply love and accept myself. Even if I know that if I really speak my truth, something bad will happen. I deeply love and accept myself. Speak my truth, speak my truth, speak my truth. But I want to sing my truth. I want to sing my truth. I want to sing my truth. I'm not just speaking my truth. I'm singing my truth. I'm singing it in different forms, in art, in writing. I'm singing my truth, and it's going to resonate with those who it will resonate with. And for the others, well, I'll just turn them away, and maybe it's best that they turn away at this time because they cannot. They are not ready for the truth. They are not ready for my truth. They are not ready for my levels. But there are people who are ready for the levels of wisdom that I have. There are people who are ready and are so wanting to hear it. There are people who are ready who still want to hear it. There's people who are ready. There's people who are ready. There's people who are ready to hear my truth, and that's who I'm talking to. That's who I'm talking to. It's not the whole world that I'm talking to. And this kind of knowledge, this kind of wisdom is not for the whole world. Somehow in this culture it's assumed that wisdom, that knowledge, all knowledge is for everybody, and that's not true. That's not true. All traditional societies know, all societies have known that wisdom is something that is one. Wisdom is one. Wisdom is one by doing the work. True wisdom is one by doing the work. And you cannot tell that true wisdom to just anybody because they won't get it. They won't get it. Even if they think they're understanding the words, they won't get it. So it's okay if some people just turn away. That's the wise thing for them to do. They're not ready. 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 They may never be ready in this life, but there are a hell of a lot of other people who are ready for my message, for who are ready for my wisdom. And there's this big movement around death and dying and grief. It's a big movement. I'm part of it. It's part of a big wave. And my part is every much as important as the other parts. There's no part of the wave that's less important than another part of the wave. It is only different. It is only different. It is only different. It's only in a different position. It's only in a different position and forming a different function. But all parts of the wave are important. All parts of the wave are what makes it big enough to move across the sea, move across the sea and wash away what has to be washed away. And this is a big wave around death, dying, and grief, to wash away, to heal with water. Okay, so even though I feel like I better stop talking because there's going to be a backlash, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I better stop talking because there's going to be a backlash, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I feel like I should stop talking because there's going to be a backlash, I deeply love and accept myself. I should just not get out there because every time I get out there, even with the smallest issue, I get a backlash. My back is really feeling out of it. I'm backed up against the wall by all this backlash. I'm backed up against the wall with all this backlash, lash. People lashing out at me because of what it brings up in them. People lashing out at me. I'm the sacrificial lamb, and I don't want to be the sacrificial lamb. No Baba for me. I don't want to be the sacrificial lamb. So, what am I going to do about it? Well, I guess I'm going to speak up, and I'm going to choose where I speak up. I'm going to speak up about the issues that really I choose to be known for. I'm going to speak up around those issues, and I won't address all the little issues that come up every day because it's not in my interest to take up the flag about everything. I could do a revolution about everything in this life. There's so many things that I really could say and which aren't right and should be changed, but I don't have to say it all. I really just have to deal with the things that I'm willing to take on, which I'm willing to take on. Okay, now I'm going to do one. Okay. Even though I don't want to be marched out in front of my mom and other people because I'm so precocious, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I don't want to be marched out in front of the world because I am so precocious, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I don't want to be marched out in front of the world to sell my goods, I deeply love and accept myself. Marching out. Being in front of, being shown off, so my mom would feel good, shown off. What a precocious child, what a smart child, but here I am not feeling that way really, feeling it but not feeling it deep down, I just want to hide behind the skirts of my mom. I want to hide because somehow they're going to find out that I don't have all of it. I don't have all of the clues. I don't have all the secrets. I don't know it all, even though I might seem to know it all. I'm not all. I'm just a little child. I'm just a little human. I'm just here. I'm just a little speck in the universe, and they're expecting so much of me. I'm just a little speck in the universe, and they're expecting so much of me. Well, I guess I can come out now. I guess I can come out now from behind the skirts of my mom, behind the apron of my mom, behind my mom, behind my mom. I can come out. I can come out and say what I really feel. I can come out and say, I can come out and be who I am. I can come out and be who I am and not sell myself for somebody I am not, and not be all things to all people, and not be just precocious, but be my whole self, my whole self. I just want to be my whole self, every aspect of myself. The mysterious aspects of myself, the creative, artistic aspects of myself, not just the talking encyclopedia, the person who can say everything that people want them to say that sounds really, really good. I want the other gifts. I want to be in the other gifts. I want to do the other things. I want to be more than a talking head. I want to be, I want to be, I want to be in my body fully. I want to be, I want to be, I want to be, I want to be. Okay, so I'm going to take a glass of water, and I suggest you guys do too, or you women do, and then anybody, when they're ready, can say something. For somebody who usually talks slowly, I kind of up the speed in these clearings. So, anybody want to come up with anything? Or actually,
I don't have anything to say other than. I guess a clearing is powerful because there's no words to
put
out there.
And if there's anything else that kind of a word that you need to work more on, that's fine. If not, I'll probably move. Well, I'll hear from Loretta and anything else that you might come up with. And then we'll go into the healing codes. Actually, I wanted to read something today, and it's not exactly about visibility, but it's about failure, and which visibility often, you know, we're afraid to afraid to be seen in public because, or to go higher in terms of our aspirations just because we're afraid of failure. And there's a beautiful poem by Rainer Maria Rilke and translated by Robert Bly. And I just wanted to read it because it came, I just saw it this morning again, and I think it's quite beautiful. For anybody who's looking to strive further, whoever was beaten by this angel, who often simply declined the fight, went away proud and strengthened, and great from that harsh hand that needed him as if to change his shape. Winning does not tempt that man. This is how he grows, by being defeated decisively by constantly greater beings. And, So, Loretta.
Well, I've just been really overwhelmed this morning, Katie. It's really interesting. I don't know how to say it, but it's like there's an inner invisibility too. It's like when I get overwhelmed emotionally, I can feel myself just pulling back behind this cloak, wanting to slip away, you know. So I'm staying present, but it's really difficult because there's a lot of just a lot of stuff going on. And I agree with, I mean, I love Rilke, but the when you said failure, I'm going, yeah, and success, you know, and the fear of success, I think is a pretty, you know, I have everything I need right now and want to move ahead. Tremendous support, just everything is ready, and it's like, oh my God, it's like, I can do this, but it's just the opposite of that, you know, being defeated. It's feeling totally able, and yet that's scary too.
Yeah, maybe we'll just do a little clearing around that and see if that helps at all. And it is scary when everything is there. Everything
yeah.
that one's used as an excuse for not doing something.
I know, and it's
bloody terrifying.
There's no more excuses. It's like, you know, the time is there, the finances are there, the thoughts are there, the everything is there. It's like, okay, so now what excuse could you give yourself?
It's positively overwhelming. It's all there.
It is.
Okay, so we'll do that. That's a good one, because I know I've felt that at times when I've had everything there to do what I said I did, and then it's like this, you know, the terror. Okay. Denise, anything more? Or I'm just going to do that clearing and then the healing codes. I think I'll just follow one by the other. Okay.
Nothing more here other than I do resonate with, there are many things that I feel, I don't know the best thing, way to say this. I think coping with failure, I set some really high standards for myself in things that I've done. And I don't feel that I've met them, so I'm just kind of that resonated with me, I guess is the best way to say it.
Yeah. Okay. So, so sometimes high standards can do the opposite. Then help really. But yeah, that's kind of perfectionism. So let's, yeah, that's an interesting thing, is when you kind of set yourself up for failure, but it's not necessarily, I don't know if you can say good type of failure, but there's a kind of failure which is just part of the process of learning or going higher, and then there's a kind of failure which is the self-imposed thing which is comes, and yeah, so that's interesting. So so why don't I'll just do something about feeling totally able and everything is there, but okay. Well, everything is here and I'm terrified and I deeply love and accept myself. Well, everything is here and I'm terrified. Even though I feel terrified, I love and accept myself. I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I feel terrified because everything is here, I deeply love and accept myself. Well, everything's here, and I have to do it. I have to do it. I have to produce. I have to do it. I have actually put myself in a position of no return, and it's terrifying. What if I can't do it? What if I know I can do it, but I don't do it? What if it just doesn't come out? What if nothing happens? What if I sit at that table and nothing comes out of my pen for days and days? What if I can't say a word? What if I can't say a word? What if it all is just bull? What if everything I say has nothing in it? I'm just faced by everything being ready and feeling this great nothingness, this great blankness of the paper before me, I am feeling terrified. Well, everything's here. No more excuses. Wow. I mean, think what I have done. I have just given myself the possibility of doing what I really want. I really have the life I want. I've struggled to have the life I want, and now I have it. And what if I have to give up the struggle right now? That's what feels empty. That's what feels empty, is because there's not a struggle. just the struggle that I feel within myself, just the struggle within myself, just the emptiness I feel because I'm so used to struggling around these external things that have just been reflections that I am afraid, that I am afraid. And I'm going to summon the great courage to go and write. And even if every word I write for this week is utter garbage, I'm going to write it anyway. I'm going to write garbage. I'm going to write whatever comes out. I'm just going to write. I'm going to write until it gets right. I'm going to write until all the garbage is out and what flows is what is beautiful. I'm going to just write and write and write and write and write and write. And as I write, everything is going to become right for me. Ripe and right. Ripe and right. I am just green at writing right now. I'm just a little green because I haven't done it enough. So what I'm going to do is ripen into my writing. I'm going to ripen into my writing. And I'm going to tell the self-critic just to go gently to the door and exit. Exit for the hour or so that I write. And if I don't want to write for all those hours, I just write for a little while as fast as I can. And then I take a walk, and then I come back, and then I write some more. And I do it in a way that's not like whipping myself. It's not whipping myself. It's just letting myself write my life. Write and ripen what is all ripe in my life. Okay, so now I'm just going to do the healing codes. Unless anybody wants to say something, I'm going to take some water again. Yes, so I pray that all known and unknown negative images, unhealthy beliefs, destructive cellular memories, and all physical issues related to feeling I want to be invisible and not wanting to express my voice because it feels dangerous or it feels like I'm just going to have too much backlash and cause too many problems. All these be found, opened, and healed by filling me with the light, life, and love of the divine force. I also pray that the effectiveness of this healing be increased by 100 times or more. Okay, so we're just going to point the hands in between the eyebrows. And then down to the throat. Okay, then I'm going to go to the side of the jaws. And then to the side of the temples. Okay, then in between the eyebrows again. And then down to the throat. And then the truth focus being just that I can be, I can express myself, I can come out of hiding. I can be safe expressing myself fully. Then the side of the jaws. I can shine forth in my magnificence. And when I need to, cloak, take the cloak of invisibility to protect myself. It's always there. It's always there. And when I choose, I can shine forth. And when I want to retire and not be seen, I will be able to do that. And the side, the side of the forehead, the side of the temples, sorry. Okay, and then gently putting our hands on top of our head. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes and release your hands to your side and just look at something beautiful in your environment. And I'm going to turn off the recording now.